A good Thursday morning. Even more Americans waking up to storm damage.
And the threat of more severe weather now expanding. Good morning. It's May 9th. This is Today. Catastrophic.
My house is gone. This is just gone.
Deadly tornadoes slam the South.
It is one of the more severe storms we've probably seen in the last 5 to 10 years.
The outbreak still not over. The threat moving up the East Coast today. Al will tell us who's in the danger zone. Breaking point. President Biden issuing a new warning to Israel against expanding its war in Gaza.
They're going to Rafah. I'm not supplying the weapons.
This morning, how Israel is responding. And the president takes heat from voters for his take on inflation and the state of the U.S. economy. We're live at the White House. Chaos in Congress.
Declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant.
Republicans and Democrats unite to kill Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's attempt to remove House Speaker Mike Johnson. Just ahead, where the showdown goes from here. Worth it? The government now joining the growing fight over popular airline and credit card reward programs. Are you really getting what you signed up for? Inside the key hearing in Washington today. All that plus pageant problems. A closer look at Miss Teen USA's decision to step down just days after Miss USA gave up her crown. And bonjour, Taylor Swift ready to kick off her next era, taking her groundbreaking concert tour to Paris.
Words can't express how excited I am.
The American fans who flocked to France with the first show just hours away now.
This is the trip of a lifetime.
Today, Thursday, May 9th, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today. It is a Thursday morning. We've got Hoda on assignment in Bermuda. Happy for her. We're going to catch up with her and Jenna a little bit later.
Yeah, by the way, that's one hot place to be today. The other hot place besides Bermuda, Paris, France. That is where Taylor Swift is about to launch the European leg of her Eras Tour. We're going to have a sneak peek and also hear from the rush of American fans who've made their way to Paris.
All right, but first let's get to our top story. Yet another night of severe weather, this days-long outbreak now targeting the South with more than a dozen reports of tornadoes across seven states. And there's the damage. We've learned at least two people have died in Tennessee.
As we said, millions remain in the storm path with another outbreak expected across the South today.
We will check in with Al and get the forecast details in a moment. But first, NBC's Priya Shreedhar, who joins us from Columbia, Tennessee this morning. Hi, Priya. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. This area just 45 miles outside of Nashville took a direct hit from a powerful twister that destroyed homes like the one behind me here. Now, officials are reporting at least three storm-related fatalities and several more serious injuries.
Overnight in the Midwest and South, another round of destructive weather. In Columbia, Tennessee, tornadoes reducing homes to rubble.
This is a catastrophic tornado. It is one of the more severe storms we've probably seen in the last 5 to 10 years.
A huge swath of forest leveled, with trees snapped like matchsticks. Lives uprooted in Maury County, Tennessee.
I started seeing the clouds, and that's when I heard the roar, and that's when I hollered at everybody to get in the closet, and then the next thing we knew, we heard just seen sky. My house is gone. This is just gone. I lost two dogs, and we're still looking for my mom and my aunt.
More than 80 twisters across 17 states over the last 3 days. The storms bringing chaos across the South, intense rain and flooding. Entire cities without power, cars crushed by reported tornadoes. Large hail, heavy rains and high winds turning deadly in Lone Mountain, Tennessee, where a tree fell on a car, killing a 22-year-old man. In Portage, Michigan, a massive cleanup effort now underway in neighborhoods shredded by a massive tornado. This house flipped completely upside down with a couple in their 60s inside. The state's governor declaring a state of emergency in four counties.
The devastation's real. There are a lot of displaced families.
And in just the last week alone, across the country, there have been 214 tornado warnings issued, which have many forecasters saying that the nation's so-called tornado alley is actually widening its footprint to more populated areas in places like Tennessee, Mississippi, and the Ohio River Valley. Savannah?
All right, Priya, thank you very much.
We've been saying it all week. In fact, the storm threat far from over. Mr. Roker is here. Already a lot of red and yellow on that map.
That's right. Unfortunately, this line of thunderstorms is the same one that has been moving. This could become what we call a derecho, a strong line of storms that travel over 240 miles. Knoxville right now in trouble. We're looking at Atlanta within a tornado watch. Tupelo, Mississippi. Birmingham all the way to Augusta, Georgia. Plus, there's heavy rain with this. 8 million people under flood watches and flash flood warnings from Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Tennessee. A real mess here. So this system pushes to the east, scattered showers and storms over the Great Lakes. But the severe risk stretches from New Jersey all the way down into Texas. Not only can we not rule out more tornadoes damaging hail, but we're worried about the winds along with this line. 80-mile-per-hour wind gusts from Dallas, Waco, Shreveport, Jackson, Montgomery into Albany, Georgia. Make no mistake, airports will be delayed. We'll be looking at airline delays all throughout that region. Tomorrow, steady rain moves into the northeast. Strong storms and thunderstorms will soak locations in the southeast. And in fact, tomorrow morning in the southeast from Daytona Beach, Jackson, Savannah, Valdosta, we're looking at severe weather, isolated tornadoes, 4 million people at risk, and again, more damaging winds. Guys?
All right, Al, we will be back to you. Now to escalating tensions between the U.S. and Israel over the war in Gaza. President Biden threatening to withhold more military aid if the Israeli military carries out an all-out assault on the city of Rafah. And in a new interview, he's also acknowledging that American-supplied bombs have already been used to kill civilians during the 7 months of fighting in Gaza. NBC's senior White House correspondent Gabe Gutierrez joins us with more on this. Gabe, good morning.
Hey there, Savannah. Good morning. For weeks, the White House has said that it opposes a large-scale assault on Rafah. But President Biden is now taking a much harder line, threatening to withhold more weapons from Israel, a key U.S. ally. Overnight, President Biden's most forceful comments yet as Israel ramps up its offensive against Hamas and Rafah.
They go into Rafah. I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem.
The president has already paused a shipment of 3,500 additional U.S. bombs to Israel. President Biden also acknowledging for the first time that American bombs have been used against Palestinian civilians, telling CNN,
civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs.
An Israeli official tells NBC News there is deep frustration over the U.S. decision to delay the bomb shipment. Republican critics also pushing back.
I think Biden's treading on some thin ice there, and he's making a big mistake.
This as ceasefire talks between the Israelis and Hamas reach a critical stage. The State Department says an agreement that could stop the fighting and secure the release of the hostages is within reach. With protests over the war looming over his re-election bid, the president traveling to battleground Wisconsin, noting his opponent, Mr. Trump, visited the same site 6 years ago to announce a $10 billion electronics factory, a project that never got off the ground.
They dug a hole with those golden shovels, and then they fell into it.
Recent polls show Americans trust Mr. Trump over President Biden on the economy. The president acknowledging overnight that Americans are struggling with inflation, but
if you take a look at what the people have, they have the money to spend.
And asked about Mr. Trump's recent comments to a Milwaukee newspaper suggesting he won't accept the results of the 2024 election if he loses, the president was blunt.
The same whether he and he may not accept the outcome of the election, I promise you he won't.
Also looming over the administration, a high-stakes report by the State Department on whether Israel has violated international law in Gaza. That's been delayed. It was initially expected Wednesday, but now we're told it could be finished in the next few days. Savannah?
All right, Gabe Gutierrez at the White House. Thank you.
Now to the battle over the war on college campuses nationwide. Demonstrations have already forced some schools to modify, even cancel graduation ceremonies in some cases, and rallies both against the war and in support of Israel are only growing. NBC's Liz Kortz joins us now from the University of Southern California. Liz, good morning to you.
Hey, Craig, good morning to you. Yeah, students may be celebrating right now, but it is still very tense here at USC. As pro-Israel supporters marched around the campus last night, the Academic Senate voted to censure USC's president over her handling of pro-Palestinian demonstrations and her canceling of the commencement. It's yet another example of the divisions facing so many universities and schools right now.
As graduates snap photos and put on their caps and gowns, at USC, a pro-Israel rally shut down a major street just outside campus.
We're going to stand up to the hate and anti-Semitism that has, you know, become pervasive on all these college campuses.
This is the reality this graduation season, the juxtaposition of joy from graduates and protests.
This demonstration coming just days after the university shut down a pro-Palestinian encampment. USC, the first school to cancel its main commencement ceremony, citing security concerns, highlighting the tensions on college campuses amid the Israel-Hamas war. Officials at UMass Amherst say more than 100 people were arrested for refusing to leave a makeshift encampment. While students at the Rhode Island School of Design are still occupying a building demanding the school divest financially from Israel. These student-driven demonstrations spreading globally, too. From Amsterdam to Madrid and Berlin. Here in the U.S., lawmakers turning their focus to grade schools. As a House committee led by Republicans grilled K-12 administrators on Capitol Hill, accusing some elementary and high schools of letting anti-Semitism run rampant in classrooms.
What are you doing to keep students safe? You've been accused of doing nothing and turning a blind eye.
New York City schools chancellor pushing back.
We cannot simply discipline our way out of this problem. The true antidote to ignorance and bias is to teach.
Now, as scaled back commencement ceremonies are underway at USC, graduates forced to celebrate amid a backdrop of broiling tensions.
It's really sad to see, like, the people graduating this year to just not be able to experience such an important part of, like, what commencement is, right?
And Greg, while the vote to censure USC's president is largely symbolic, the motion also comes with a demand that the university create a task force to investigate recent actions here. Meanwhile, at nearby UCLA, some faculty and staff say they plan to rally on campus today, demanding that protesters who were arrested last week have their charges dropped and that the UCLA chancellor resign. Craig?
Liz Quartz Force there on Southern Cal's campus. Liz, thank you.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Mike Johnson has survived an attempt by a fellow Republican to remove him from power. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle banding together to reject a long-threatened motion by far-right Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's go to NBC's Capitol Hill correspondent Ryan Nobles. Ryan, good morning. So does that mean that this threat hanging over the speaker's head is now gone?
Well, Savannah, it likely does, at least for now, after a wide range of members of Congress made it very clear they were no longer interested in putting the House of Representatives into a state of chaos.
After weeks of posturing and threats, Marjorie Taylor Greene finally made her move and was met with a chorus of boos. The Republican firebrand, close with former President Trump, dramatically failed in her attempt to remove Speaker Mike Johnson from his post after an overwhelming number of Democrats voted with Republicans to block her effort. Democrats decided to bail Johnson out after the speaker bucked conservatives like Green and put funding for Ukraine on the floor. The still speaker calling on his colleagues to turn the page.
Hopefully, this is the end of the personality politics and the frivolous character assassination that has defined the 118th Congress.
A message the vast majority of Republicans agree with.
And the reality of this is this is like the congressional version of a temper tantrum. And we continue to do it.
Even Trump pushed back against Green, encouraging his supporters to defend Johnson. But the Georgia congresswoman, even in defeat, found a way to claim victory.
This Republican Party is not ready, and they proved it today. As a matter of fact, they proved they're ready to do everything with the Democrats.
While the Democratic leader declaring that a small group of right-wing Republicans will no longer dominate the Congress.
We need more common sense and less chaos in Washington, D.C. Marjorie Taylor Greene and extreme MAGA Republicans are chaos agents. House Democrats are change agents.
And despite her embarrassing loss, Green did not rule out bringing up yet another motion to vacate Johnson in the future. And at this point, Democrats have not promised to offer their support should she make that move again. But for now, Johnson's job is safe as he heads into an election season, hoping to hold on to or even expand the GOP majority in the House. Savannah?
Ryan Noble's on the Hill. Thank you. Also this morning, former President Trump heads back to a New York City courtroom where adult film actress Stormy Daniels will continue her testimony at his criminal hush money trial. And in the meantime, there are new developments have to do with Trump's election interference case in Georgia. NBC senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett is here. Let us start in Georgia.
Yes.
The case functionally delayed, likely until after the election. Tell us why.
Yeah, this is all about the former president's effort to try to get the DA disqualified from the case. He said she had an ethical conflict for hiring her boyfriend to lead the Trump prosecution. The lower court disagreed with that and basically said, if you kick the boyfriend off the case, you can stay on, which she did. The former president wants her entirely removed from the case. And so this is giving him the first opportunity to file that appeal. We have no idea how the appeal will come out, but it doesn't matter because this delays it and that serves his interest.
So the court said you can file an appeal, but hasn't said whether they'll grant it.
Exactly.
But in any event, the appeal goes forward.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about trial today. Stormy Daniels is still on the witness stand. She's under cross-examination. What do you expect?
If I were the defense at this point, I would stay away from the salacious old allegations of sex and about whether or not that happened. Get away from the fight about that and go to the actual charges and her lack of knowledge. Go to the fact, ma'am, you have no idea how the former president actually restructured his payments. You have no idea how his books were actually documented. You have no idea whether there was a reimbursement scheme with Michael Cohen. Go to the fact that she doesn't know about any of that and expose that. I think that's what you might see on cross-examination.
But the cross-examination that started the other day didn't do that. I mean, they were kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of whether or not this affair happened, which we've noted is totally irrelevant to the charges of
the case. They spent so much time trying to muddy up her credibility and try to accuse her basically of being a liar, but not to get into the actual lack of knowledge, which I think that would be really illuminating for the jury if that comes out today.
All right, we shall see. Laura, thank you very much. Yeah. We're getting the May showers.
Yeah, that we certainly are. And we're going to see plenty of those as we make our way from the Great Lakes and the upper Mississippi River Valley into the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, where we do have that severe threat. Record heat along the Gulf. We'll take a look at that coming up in the next half hour. Snow in the Rockies in May, but beautiful up and down the West Coast. And that's your latest weather. Guys,
thanks, all right, buddy. Thank you, Al. Coming up, new shockwaves across the beauty pageant world. Miss Teen USA giving up her crown just days after Miss USA did the same. So we'll go inside that turmoil, threatening to upend the industry, guys.
Also, there's some new scrutiny over those popular airline and credit card rewards programs. Are you really getting the value and points that you sign up for? What you need to know ahead of a key hearing in Washington today. First, this is Today on NBC.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My job is to speak to clients on the phone about quantity, type of paper, whether we can supply it to them, whether they can pay for it. And I'm boring myself just talking about it, to be honest. It's
Awesome. Wow. Of course he got the gig. That's the audition tape John Krasinski sent in and got him the office job that started it all.
That's cool.
Well, guess what? He's a superstar now. 20 years later, actor, writer, director, producer, doing all three in his new movie. That was four. Okay. And how lucky. John is here.
I love that.
I'm going to sit down and talk to him about his new movie.
If.
Such a good guy.
If. It looks like a great movie.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
All right.
Chanel Jones, welcome to the party. We've got a busy half hour ahead. We're going to start with the turmoil that's really rocking the world of beauty pageants.
So earlier this week, we told you about Miss USA's decision to relinquish her crown. Well, now, just days later, Miss Teen USA has announced she's doing the same.
NBC's entertainment correspondent Chloe Malas all over it. What is going on over in the pageant world?
That is the question that everybody wants the answer to. So Miss Teen USA shocking the pageant world yesterday, saying that she no longer wants her title. And it comes as dozens of Miss USA contestants are also speaking out.
This morning, Miss Teen USA stunning the pageant world after giving up her title. 17-year-old Uma Sofia Srivastava, who made history as the first Mexican Indian American winner of the Miss Teen USA pageant, announcing the surprising news on Instagram, writing, "My personal values no longer fully align with the direction of the organization." The bombshell comes just 2 days after Miss USA Noelia Voigt announced her own resignation, with less than 6 months to go on her reign, citing mental health issues. Fellow pageant contestants speaking out, posting a joint statement of support for Voigt, saying that Voigt is under a non-disclosure agreement and asking the Miss USA organization to release her, adding, "We are asking for full transparency." Miss Maine Juliana Morehouse calling for the Miss USA organization to let Voigt's voice be heard.
She cannot speak on her experience as Miss USA.
There are signs that there might have been a conflict between Voigt and the Miss USA organization. A person close to her telling NBC News that the first letter of each sentence in her resignation post on Instagram spells out, "I am silenced." The CEO of the Miss USA organization responding to the resignations in a statement, writing in part, "I take these allegations seriously. The well-being of all individuals associated with Miss USA is my top priority."
When you have two national title holders stepping down, I just don't see that aligning.
An unprecedented situation, now tarnishing the crown of two of the country's most well-known pageants.
Now, we did reach out last night to the Miss USA organization about that statement referring to Voigt's alleged non-disclosure agreement, and we have not yet heard back. But for both of them to resign within just days of each other, so many questions about what is going on.
Clearly something's happened. All right.
Hope they're okay.
All right, Chloe, thank you.
Well, we have a fun story just ahead filled with happy accidents. Al, Craig, and Carson got a painting lesson from the teacher who's carrying on the legacy of the beloved Bob Ross.
That guy had his hands full, too. I just got to tell you.
With you guys.
First, though, are you getting what you pay for? Brian Chung is following today's hearing that's putting airline credit cards and those rewards programs in the spotlight. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. I actually just got an email for 60,000 points from one of these airline credit cards. But the question, are consumers actually coming out on top with those credit cards? We'll have the details on the other side of the break.
Welcome back. This morning on Today's Consumer, new attention on this popular airline and credit card rewards program.
The question, are they actually working for consumers? And it's the focus of an important hearing today led by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the Transportation Department.
NBC's business correspondent Brian Chung is following all of it for us. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. They're impossible to avoid, right? We're talking about in the mail, at the kiosk at the airport, even when you're on the plane, these offers for 40, 60, 100,000 points just for signing up for a credit card. But some consumers are alleging it's left them in a smoke and mirrors of confusing rules on how to earn and use those very points. And this morning, the government's listening to them.
It's an offer that's hard to turn down, flipping those everyday purchases into your next getaway. But today, those airline credit cards deals are under scrutiny. Lauren Randall applied for an airline credit card after seeing a sign-up bonus offer for 40,000 points. Hours later, seeing another offer for 60,000.
It does kind of feel like a bait and switch.
She's one of the 41% of Americans with a travel rewards credit card, part of the booming economy for points, scoring flights that would otherwise have expensive price tags in dollars. Signing up for a card among one of the quickest ways to rack up points. But some consumers are finding the headache of accumulating and then redeeming points more trouble than it's worth. Federal regulators, including the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, are listening.
We've seen where consumers have had to run through an obstacle course to get the rewards that they were promised.
With annual fees as high as $650 and interest rates above the national average, airline cards this morning are the subject of a hearing to see if consumers are really coming out on top.
Credit card companies are charging huge interest rates, sometimes 30% or more. And many consumers actually lose out on these deals. They may be paying way more than the value of the awards that they accrue.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg saying the stakes are high with Americans valuing points like their savings.
But unlike your cash savings, a company can change the value of these points anytime for any reason.
Airlines, meanwhile, say that their partnerships with banks allow airlines to reward their most loyal customers. Randall says she was denied the extra point bonus on her new airline credit card.
The juice may not necessarily be worth the squeeze.
So the next time you see a nice bonus for opening an airline's credit card, look online and see if better offers are out there. Try to set a budget on what you're willing to pay for an annual fee and try to stick with your airline of choice. You won't be flying where you're actually using the points.
Yeah. Be a one airline person.
That's right.
Don't spread it around.
No.
Exactly.
Solid advice.
Brian.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Let's go over to Mr. Roker. He's a one airline man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
You don't have to say it unless they're paying for this segment.
They're not. So let's just moving along. Cooler air from the north. So that we've got that over the western part of the country, record heat down to the south and along the mid-Atlantic states. Look at some of these temperatures today. We're talking as we work our way into Detroit, Des Moines, Denver, Albuquerque, Las Vegas, temperatures all below average, but we could see records in Columbus, New Orleans. We're looking at Brownsville, 103, Cape Hatteras, 80 degrees, all coming close to those temperatures. Then we look for a two-day temperature drop in the Northeast and Great Lakes, anywhere from 15 to 30 degrees below average from Cleveland, Burlington, Washington, D.C., Beckley, West Virginia. And then we get a warm rebound by Monday in Cleveland. You're at 73, 72 in Philadelphia. Nashville, you're near 80. St. Louis, 78. But you want some records? Let's head out to the Pacific Northwest. Heading into the weekend, we're talking some record highs possible for Portland, Medford, Reading will be in the mid-90s. Missoula, Montana, 81. Boise, you're looking at temperatures in the low 80s. You'll all be saying, oh, Boise. And that is your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. We've got your boost coming right up. And Emily Ikeda, a sighting in Studio 1A. There must be Taylor news.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning to you guys. Taylor Swift is saying bonjour to Paris tonight. And so are tens of thousands of Americans who are jumping across the pond to see the kickoff of her European Lecture Tour. Coming up, what surprises could be in store?
We're back, and look who else is back.
I know that song.
Hey.
Emily Ikeda cannot be far once I hear that music. Good morning. Of course, the eyes of the music world, as mentioned earlier, are on Paris today, not because of the Olympics, but because Taylor Swift's going to be kicking off the European leg of her wildly successful Eras Tour. And joining us with all the details, of course, live from, unfortunately, here in Studio 1A, is Emily Ikeda. Hi, Em.
Hey, good morning. If there was ever any question of Swifties loyalty, just look at the throngs of fans jumping across the pond to see Taylor Swift. In fact, up to 30% of ticket holders for the next four nights in Paris are American, according to the venue. And on the heels of her latest album drop, fans are anticipating plenty of surprises in store.
This morning, the City of Love is ready for Taylor Swift as she kicks off the European leg of her history-making Eras Tour in Paris. Swifties congregating and warming up their vocals near famous landmarks in anticipation. Texas natives Kathleen Smith and her daughter Kennedy, skipping her college graduation to be here.
This is the trip of a lifetime.
Get tickets for Paris was nothing short of a miracle.
An estimated 20 to 30% of the fans set to file into Europe's largest indoor arena are American.
I'm a teacher. I actually took off from school for the whole week.
Packing hotels and restaurants, this weekend's tourism influx will test the city's infrastructure and security ahead of another major event this summer.
For four nights, we'll be the center of the world. It's a rehearsal for the Olympics, obviously.
Last year, the stunning demand for Eras Tour tickets in France forced Ticketmaster to pause sales.
I was so, so sad, so disappointed.
Our crew happened to run into that mega fan in Paris this week, who was excited to report she's since scored a seat.
And get to see it all firsthand on the first night. I'm sure she has so many surprises for us.
Tonight will mark the singer's first time performing since dropping The Tortured Poets Department, which broke vinyl sales and streaming records. Fans pointing to this never-before-seen white mic in rehearsal clips as a potential sign Swift could incorporate songs off the new album as Swift's tour enters its next era.
And the French media, by the way, is buzzing this morning with reports that her concert promoter in Paris says she will, in fact, add songs from the new album to the tour. We reached out to Taylor's team, but have not heard back. By the way, some fans are saving money by going to Paris on StubHub. Take a look at this. Some tickets for tonight's show are going for around $140. You compare that to her October 18th show in Miami, around $2,000. Wow. Keep in mind, France has stricter rules around ticket resales. All of that to say, guys, why am I not in Paris right
wow.
now?
Yeah. Emily, not in Paris.
Yes, I know exactly. Emily right. Paris.
Thank you, Em.
But she's saving. If she goes.
Yeah,
that's a
throwback. For thank my you. Bank account.
Yeah. That's why a lot of Americans went overseas to go see the show, because it was cheaper ultimately.
Why is it so much more expensive
because
here?
Of the rules because of resales. Rules. She said
the French.
Yeah. We need to adopt.
They got better cheese, bread, and ticket rules.
Ticket prices.
I mean, come on.
Thank you, all right.
Yeah. And thanks for that. Guys, coming up on Popstart, we're still learning more about, there's real truth behind this, finally, an Office spinoff series that's in the works.
By the way, speaking of The Office.
Yeah.
Look who's here, folks. We're going to chat with John Krasinski about the sweet story that he wrote for his daughters. He's bringing it to the big screen.